WHYY.
This is Radio Times. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. The School District of Philadelphia has struggled through another year of budget cuts and now faces a huge financial hole for the next academic year. That is, unless City Council, the state legislature, and the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers can come up with some more money. The School Reform Commission, which oversees the district, refused to adopt a budget late last month in a move that was both historic and symbolic. The SRC said the $2.4 billion budget would mean laying off 800 teachers, increased class size, reduced services, and even more cuts in counseling and nursing staff. Superintendent William Hite, who recommended the SRC action, said running schools this way for another year is unsustainable and does an extreme disservice to our students and our families. Superintendent Hite joins us on Radio Times. Nice to have you back with us.
Nice to be here.
Also with us is Bill Green, the SRC chairman, served as councilman at large at City Council 2008 to 2014. And Bill Green, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you.
Do you see this as a game of chicken, William Hite?
If it is, it's a terrible game. And the bottom line is our schools must receive a minimum of $96 million. That is in addition to the $120 million that we received, so that we will not have to cut further from the cuts that we had to do this year. No one believes that our schools have sufficient services now. And to cut from that is something that I don't think that our children, their families, our staff members, or the city should entertain.
Bill Green, does the SRC, what kind of leverage does the SRC have?
Absolutely none. We have no taxing authority. We're the only school district in Pennsylvania that is not in control of the revenue that it's going to receive on an annual basis. And so for the last 3 years, every single year, there have been one-time fixes, one-year money that plugs holes. This year we have we had $120 million of non-recurring revenue last year. This year we're going to have, hopefully, the sales tax to fill that all for this year. We have a continuing structural deficit that increases every year for the next 5 years, and we have to have stable recurring revenue to fill that hole so that Dr. Hite and his team can make investments in improving our educational system instead of, as he's had to for the last 18 months, take away from what is necessary for children.
You served on City Council. Do you have friends there? Do you have people you can either put pressure on or convince to come up with the needed money?
We are all, Dr. Hite, myself, the mayor, everyone, talking to people in City Council and talking to people in Harrisburg and explaining how dire the situation is, trying to explain that Dr. Hite, as he said last month, as an educator, cannot support the budget that would be required. But as an administrator, we all know that Dr. Hite has done what is required to have a balanced budget. We've eliminated 5,000 positions, closed 32 facilities, cut over 22% from our budget, taking class sizes to over 30 from the low 20s, and it's going to get only worse this year, and it's not sustainable. We're not doing our job educating children, and I don't want to be a part of that, and neither does Dr. Hite.
Why is $2.4 billion, why is that not enough money to educate children in Philadelphia? I'm looking at you, William Hite.
Yeah, no, it's the right question. And if you think about it from this perspective, and we talk about just to maintain the status quo, which is insufficient, and if you think about it from this perspective, 5 years ago, the status quo was $2.8 billion. Now we are asking to maintain a status quo of 2.4. So every time we make cuts, we're reducing or we're lowering what is considered status quo. So we have status quo now without counseling services in every school, when 5 years ago, counseling services were in all schools. And so the problem with this is that it's becoming the new status quo. In addition to that, there are natural costs that increase, and we call those costs of doing business. Things like pension costs, health care costs, all of those things begin to increase year over year, and that's why you have to plan for those increases in their long-term plan. And so every time that we take from one-time monies and we have to reduce those amounts, then we're reducing that base even further. And so now, unfortunately, the 2.4 is not sufficient to educate all of the children that we have to educate. And that's all 200 plus thousand children, mm-hmm. because now, understand, this impacts charters as well as it does district.
The School Reform Commission, Bill Green, though, does have to pass a budget at the end of the month on June 30th. So you have about 2 weeks to either put pressure or cajole or shame people into coming up with additional money. What more can you do?
In all seriousness, I get up every morning and I say a prayer because I don't see how this will be accomplished without a higher power. It is an impossible task that Bill will be asked to do next year if we don't get at least the $96 million he referred to. I'm not certain how we will address that. I'm not certain what kind of budget we'll pass, but I can assure everyone that the consequences of what we will have to do on June 30th without that money will be so dire that everyone will regret that they did not step up and do the right, and in many cases, the easy thing, like passing a $55 million borrowing in city council instead of $27 million that they did last week.
I mean, is your beef with city council?
My beef is with all of our funding authorities. We need additional resources from the state, and we've requested $150 million. We need additional resources from the city. We've requested $75 million, so far people have not decided to. I can't really explain why people don't understand the desperate situation that the district and our children will be in next year. Dr. Hite has laid it out in clear, stark terms, and I'm hoping that in the last 2 weeks people will just recognize that they have to do the right thing.
William Hite, I know part of this is also going to the PFT, the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers, wanting something like $95 million. And we've done numerous shows on schools with and without teachers, and we often get calls from teachers who say, look, you know, I dig into my pocket to help pay for supplies for the children in my class. I don't have a counselor in the school, so I'm counseling children in my class. I don't have a nurse, so I'm, you know, putting Band-Aids on bruises and things like that. Teachers feeling like they have given enough for this district. You want more?
Well, unfortunately, we're in the position that requires more. And it requires more in terms of energy. It requires more in terms of sacrifices. And I also think it's important to say that I'm grateful to our teachers, to our administrators, to our family members who have been the reason that we have been able to navigate through this year. They've been put in an unfortunate position of having less than what they need in order to educate. But this is also a fact. The fact is that benefit costs for that group, just as all of the other benefits and across all of the other labor unions, continue to increase. And making a contribution to benefits actually allows us to return monies to classrooms. Or changing a plan actually helps us put monies back into classrooms. And so one of the things that we've asked for the PFT is to make a sacrifice, and make a sacrifice that's consistent with that of our blue-collar workers and that, more recently, of our administrators. And any monies that are saved and a contribution that they make to benefits actually is returned to the classroom, and that's why that ask is still there. I've said on your show,
sure,
I don't think we pay teachers enough, but we are faced with a set of unfortunate circumstances that now and continue to be detrimental to our children. And if everyone is in this for children, then let's all talk about what we can do individually and collectively to provide additional revenues for schools and for classrooms.
Bill Green, does the SRC have the power to force a contract with the teachers or force them to sign on to what William Hite just talked about in terms of contributions for benefits?
It's my belief that the SRC has the powers necessary to do what it needs to do to try to bring our budget into balance. We have already taken action a Dr. Hite's recommendation and gone to the Supreme Court seeking affirmation that we can change work rules that Dr. Hite and his team says are necessary to transform what's happening in our schools as one piece of the puzzle. I do want to say, and we've said it publicly at SRC meetings, that the what we are asking of teachers is not fair. We are asking for salary cuts in addition to benefit contributions. I think benefit contributions are fair. I don't know a person in the private sector that doesn't have to contribute to emergency room visits and to doctors, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is where districts have received work rule changes they need or concessions with respect to benefits or other things, they've always bargained for them. And we are trying to bargain for them, but it's been over 18 months, and the teachers refuse to move on any issue.
Mm. But, I mean, is there a point at which you feel like you just have to, in a sense, pull the trigger on this?
I wouldn't want to make any predictions. We are sitting down with Dr. Hite's team is sitting down with the PFT at the end of this month and early next month, and we continue to hope that they, as well as the elected officials that we have to deal with, will recognize that everybody has to sacrifice. This is for the district to succeed, everybody must sacrifice.
Are you concerned, though, William Hite, and I'm just using first and last names here so people, our listeners, know who I'm talking to and who is talking, that because of the crisis in the district, it's going to be hard to retain teachers, it's going to be hard to recruit teachers because they're coming to a place where there's so much unsettled future?
Oh, no question about it, and not just teachers, but families, and to retain families in the district. If in fact, every year... during this time of year, we're going through this process. And I said to someone the other day that this is becoming an unfortunate rite of spring. And it's only my second spring. And already we've having to repeat this process where we're asking individuals for additional revenue in order to maintain what are insufficient services in schools. The unfortunate part about this, even with to the teacher point, is that while we want to talk about how teachers come together to talk about their practice and to get excited about the innovations that are occurring in their classes, instead we're asking them to say, think about how do you put 40 children in your classroom? And so, yes, I do think it becomes a problem. The only other point I want to make is that because we've had to make all of these significant cuts over the past several years, we haven't been in a position to hire many teachers. It's been going the other way, where we've had to lay off, unfortunately, many talented individuals.
That's William Hite, Philadelphia School Superintendent, along with Bill Green, the School Reform Commission Chair. And we are talking about the budget crisis in the Philadelphia School District and what it means for the children, what it means for teachers, what it means for families, what it means for the city, the state. We'll throw it all in there. 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The National Constitution Center supports WHYY. The National Constitution Center is the museum of We the People, featuring the acclaimed multimedia show Freedom Rising, Signers Hall, and the story of We the People through artifacts, a rare copy of the Constitution, and interactive exhibits. Now through October 19th, Slavery at Jefferson's Monticello, a powerful exhibition that follows six enslaved families who lived and worked at Jefferson's plantation. More at 215-409-6700 or constitutioncenter.org.
Whether you're just waking up or you're on your commute, the news is always happening. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Jennifer Lynn. WHYY and NPR's reporters are covering the stories around the block and across the globe that will fuel your day and keep you informed.
So if your alarm is set to 90.9 or we're the first preset on your car's radio,
it's radio so vibrant you can almost see it.
And our reporters never take shortcuts.
Morning Edition, weekday mornings on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Nothing for kids to do this summer? How about checking out a DIY website where they can earn merit badges, for instance, helping to build an amphibious vehicle?
Oh, this is so sweet.
Get the battery on.
Woo, floaty!
Fun. Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
this afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane talking with William Height. He's the superintendent of the School District of Philadelphia and Bill Green, chair of the School Reform Commission. And like last year, the district is facing a looming budget deficit. And if the district doesn't get more money from the city, the state, and the teachers union, Superintendent Height said the classes could be increased and more teachers, counselors, and nurses could be laid off. It's our topic for today's Radio Times, and calls are coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes at whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. To you, Bill Green, you are relatively new as chair of the School Reform Commission, a position you took over. I guess it was Corbett who nominated you and took it over in February. But some blame the School Reform Commission, which has been responsible for the district for, what, about the last dozen years or so, for the dire straits that the district is in. Do you think there's some truth to that?
I think that there were poor choices made under previous School Reform Commission leadership, especially with respect to how the stimulus money was spent. It was spent on programmatic things instead of on things that were going to be sustainable in the long run, like teacher training, improvement of our facilities, and you know, poor choices were made. But the problem with the Philadelphia School District is that people are not willing to invest in a plan to transform our schools. Dr. Heitz made it clear that with $440 million, we can have great schools in Philadelphia. You were talking about, you know, teachers not coming to the district. Well, really, as a city and as a commonwealth, if the Philadelphia School District gets the resources to begin to transform schools the way Dr. Heitz and his team have put the plan together, this city will grow. We can be a city of 2 million people again in 50 years. We've got the infrastructure for it. People will move to good catchment areas. It's proven by the Penn Alexander School. Real estate prices will increase. It will all pay for itself if we just make the investment. And it's hard to convince people in advance to make an investment for the obvious return, but it will be in a virtuous cycle of growth with great schools in this city, and it's possible. And we have to convince our elected leaders at the state and city and parents to stay with us, to help us improve the schools that their children are in, because we're going to have the investment that is going to create a great school in every neighborhood. But it's possible.
William Height, what do you think that the governor, the legislature, what more do you think they can do?
Well, I mean, I think that that everyone, I mean, everybody, I mean, not just, not just one entity, but everyone has to do more. And we should be looking at a fair funding formula for the city. In addition to that, we should not leave any monies that are available on the table. And so I think that there are things that could be done if, in fact, there was a return to charter reimbursement. That would be
charter reimbursement.
Yes, that would be a significant revenue enhancement for a significant revenue enhancement for Philadelphia. And so I do think that there are a lot that all parties have to do. And, you know, this I think about it from the perspective of it's kind of what right do we have to actually continue to send the children of Philadelphia to under-resourced schools? And it's one reason I recommended that the SRC not vote on that budget, because we feel like the schools are under and will be under-resourced. And that's not what Bill just described. That will not lead to what Bill just described in terms of attracting individuals to neighborhoods. And so, but at the end of the day, this is about our ability to service children and to teach children. And to educate children. And I think that becomes extremely important, because somehow that point is getting lost in all of the positions that people are retreating to. But I think at the end of the day, it's an investment in the young people of this city that, in my opinion, then begins to form a foundation for the future of the city.
And I was reading that you, I mean, if you, I guess, add it all up, you're looking for $4,000 more dollars per child in the district.
No question about it, which is consistent with an adequacy study that was done some years ago. And we know that that's a high, I mean, that sounds like a large number, but if in fact the adequacy study has indicated that if in fact the formula that was put in place and was funded, we would be at that amount today. And so that's the number that we fall short in terms of providing children with the adequate resources that they need.
Go ahead, Bill Green.
Yeah, I just want to say that Dr. Height and his team don't have a plan to take additional money and put it back into the schools the same way it was in the schools when they had $2.8 billion 5 years ago. There is an entire new plan to transform our schools and to change the way we conduct education in Philadelphia, which isn't just taking what we took out and putting it back in. It's very thoughtful, and I believe that it will be successful if we have the opportunity to pursue it. So I just wanted to add that.
Well, but in terms of dollars, and since the legislature is facing some red ink, as I understand it, we have a governor, I'm looking at you, Bill Green, a governor who is on record and opposes any kind of tax increase. How do you squeeze more money out of the state?
Well, we've specifically given my former colleagues in city council and people in the state ideas with respect to that. We certainly, as we said in an SRC meeting, are in favor of Marcellus Shale or severance tax. We are in favor of a cigarette tax, which we need the cigarette tax authorization, which we need the General Assembly to pass, which would provide us $87 million, not fully this year, but next year. And so we also need a full, fair funding formula, and so we need the House and Senate to move on a bill that is before them that creates a commission determine what is appropriate funding for schools in Pennsylvania. Although we think we know the answer, if a study will be the thing that gets us the resources, let's do it.
I've heard people, William Height, say on this show that the goal, sort of the overall goal is disinvestment, and the goal is to make the Philadelphia School District fail. And then you can bring in more charters, you can bring in vouchers, sort of set the stage for a takeover. You're having a visceral reaction when I put that to you. It's just something that I've heard.
Sure. I mean, and we've heard the same thing. I mean, and my reaction was more to the math associated with that. And it costs money to educate children, regardless of who's educating children. And the point that we're making this morning is it's not enough money. So even if that was a goal, which it is not, that the money doesn't work out because it's just not enough, regardless of the sector that we're talking about. And so that's not the point at all. And the point instead is to really double down on improving our neighborhood schools. Really thinking about the coalescing around early literacy, college readiness initiatives, teacher-principal capacity development, giving principals the ability to make decisions, partnering with their communities and families, providing for neighborhoods, families, teachers, and anyone else who's interested in transforming a school, the ability to do that. These are all of the things that we want and we think would begin to transform this district. But unfortunately, here we are again talking about what we have to take away in order to make ends meet.
And you're saying $400 million would allow the district to do all that you just said in terms of improvements?
It would allow us to start down that path. And that $400 million, I must add, must be recurring. And so this is not another one-year fix where in a year from now or 2 years from now or 3 years from now, then we have to make cuts again. And that goes back to the status quo comment that we were talking about earlier. But this is $440 million in recurring revenue, which means what we would like to do is just like what any other large organization does, and that's to create long-term fiscal plans so there is some stability and so that we can begin to implement and carry these things out over a period of time.
That's William Hite. He's the superintendent of the School District of Philadelphia. Also with us, Bill Green. He's the chairman of the School Reform Commission. He served on Philadelphia City Council. And a bit of a deja vu, because we did have this conversation a year ago, the district facing another looming deficit, and our guests are looking for ways to get the city and the state and the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers to cough up some more money. We have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. We have Amara from West Philadelphia joining us on the show today. Amara, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Sure, thank you. So the annual rite of spring of this sprinksmanship every year gets misdirected at parents who really don't have the power. The person that has the power, Governor Corbett, simply does not care, like parents do, if there's 40 kids in a classroom in the fall. Why don't Bill Green and William Hite threaten to drop the PFT union lawsuit if Governor Corbett does not reinstate the charter reimbursement? That's directing the brinksmanship at the right person.
Okay, and she's saying that the Corbett's the problem. I'm looking at you, Bill Green.
Well, I don't believe that Governor Corbett or the General Assembly or anyone else wants there to be 40 students in a class in Philadelphia. And I'm a little confused by the connection between a lawsuit pending before the Supreme Court at the moment regarding work rules and funding, because work rules are not a funding issue. And I don't know how one would help the other.
William, this is a crazy idea. Would going on strike, not just teachers, but like the whole district going on strike, would that even be an option? I'm not even thinking it's necessarily a good idea.
Well, unfortunately, we had to consider that a year ago. I mean, and without a commitment to $50 million last August, we were faced with the unfortunate decision of determining whether or not we would be able to open schools on time, which... By virtue of that action would be, going on strike. But there are consequences to that, naturally, and there are certain components that are required by the Constitution of Pennsylvania. In addition to that is, once you take that path, then a lot of individuals saying, we're with you, and everyone is with you until you can't meet payroll, because it also means that, people are not paid, and so there are consequences. And so we unfortunately have to consider all things, and are considering all things in the event that we don't get the revenue that's needed.
Did you get that $50 million that was promised last summer?
We're still working. We're still working on that.
Okay.
And that's a really important question.
Okay.
And because we had commitments both from the mayor and city council, from the council president, and now it you probably have been following the actions of council, who chose to authorize the city to borrow 27 of the $50 million that would be paid for by the sales tax extension, no cost to taxpayers. And so that was a point that I made earlier in the reference to not leaving money on the table. We think that should authorize the full $50 million so that we could carry forward a smaller deficit that we would have to then close next year.
Anything you wanted to that, Bill Green?
No, I mean, that $28 million that could be put on the table, and at the moment City Council is leaving on the table, avoids about $45 to $48 million in cuts, because for each dollar that we don't get, we have to cut far in excess of that dollar in order to pay term pay and severance costs and other people who will lose their jobs as a consequence of that cut. So it's really meaningful, almost to the tune of almost $50 million to get that $28 million.
Let me get Barbara from Elkins Park to join our conversation. Barbara, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a retired Philadelphia school teacher. And before you ask teachers to make a sacrifice, have you ever thought about asking your PICO to discount the electric bills, or oil companies to discount fuel for the buses, or ask the standardized and curriculum companies to discount their materials, since we all have a stake in the Philadelphia school system. I was just wondering if those companies who make the school district run also were asked to make any kind of a sacrifice. Thank you.
Thanks, thanks, Barbara, for calling into Radio Times. William Height.
Yeah, that was a great question. And the answer is yes, we have done all of the following. And as a matter of fact, SEPTA granted us a loan several years ago, naturally to pay the loan back. But it is we've asked for delays in payments, reduced payments. And in addition to that, we've not only asked the curriculum and content companies to reduce the costs, we just stopped purchasing, which has implications for the children sitting in classrooms. We no longer have the ability to purchase a lot of curriculum materials that should be in our classrooms. And that's why this whole conversation is so detrimental to the teaching and learning process that needs to occur. And so to the caller, we appreciate the recommendations. We have asked for those, and in some cases have been granted some extensions, but no one has waived a fee that's owed to them.
But and that's where teachers come in, the teachers that do this, that go into their pocket and buy some of those materials and supplies that the district isn't buying because they can't afford it.
No question, and thanks to the mayor and others who supported a school supply drive. And even when we could afford it, teachers were going into their pockets, but this year more so than others, and that's part of why this is such a challenge for everyone.
Bill Green, I'm looking at the screen here, and there are a lot of emails for people who are angry, you know, that the two of you, I guess, and even the district is putting pressure on teachers to give up either salary increases or having to pay into their benefits. They see it as unfair.
Well, as I said, it is unfair to ask for both. I think benefit concessions on the order of that we are asking about are appropriate. I mean, the union has a health and welfare fund that gets a payment that is far in excess of what it costs them to provide medical and dental and other services. And that money could be in a classroom instead of building up in a health and welfare fund that does students and the people who are getting their benefits paid really no good. There's lots of easy concessions, and then there's harder concessions, like having to pay, like I do in my insurance, $250 to go to an emergency room.
We're almost up on a break here, but do you think the problem of the district, I'm again looking
at... I want to be clear about one thing. The PFT has made, you know, in the negotiations, certain concessions. So, they're just not to a level that we can conclude negotiations with them. So I don't want to give the impression that they're not putting something on the table. It's just it's not significant enough, and it's not in areas where we need it to be, like in benefits, that will lower our structural costs with respect to benefits over time in a more meaningful way than a salary concession would be, for example.
Let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. That's Bill Green. He's chairman of the School Reform Commission here in Philadelphia, was a member of Philadelphia City Council. Also with us at William Height. He's the superintendent of the School District of Philadelphia. And I should say to our listeners, we will be talking with teachers over the summer and students and other stakeholders as we talk about the crisis of the Philadelphia School District. Stay with us. Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. We'll be right back.
Beck Institute, internationally recognized source for cognitive behavior therapy, welcomes clients to their Center for Psychotherapy in Bala Cynwyd. Established by Dr. Judith Beck and Dr. Aaron Beck, founder of cognitive behavior therapy, Beck Institute provides effective treatment for challenges including depression, anxiety, stress, and weight management. Details at beckinstitute.org or 610-664-3020. Beck Institute proudly supports WHYY.
On the next Fresh Air, Joshua Ferris talks about his new novel, To Rise Again at a Decent Hour. It's about a dentist who sees so much oral decay and disease, he considers himself part mortician. Constantly facing the inevitability of death, he longs for faith, but is capable only of doubt. Join us.
this afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
Syria, a swamp of chaos. Iraq, a juggernaut of radicals. Iran ascending and the U.S. on the sidelines. Not my words.
This is a very, very dangerous, world-shattering situation.
Just some of the thoughts of Christian Amanpour on Iraq's return to sectarian chaos. Our focus this week on The Takeaway from PRI Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. A few weeks ago, the School Reform Commission, which oversees the Philadelphia School District, refused to adopt a budget in a move that was both historic and symbolic, saying the budget of $2.4 billion was unacceptable. Bill Green with us, also William Height, and we have an explosion of phone calls at 1-888-477-9499. Let me go back to you, Bill Green. And you were a member of City Council, you know how this city works, how the political system works. How much of the problems of the district is a political problem or even a leadership problem?
I don't think the district has a leadership problem. We have a great leader in Superintendent Height, who's assembled a great team.
Who, I mean, a political
the SRC
leadership
has great,
problem.
Great faith in. No, I thought that's what you meant, but I wanted to be clear.
Fair enough.
It is... when I go to when I was on council and even going recently, people on city council, my former colleagues talk about ending the school to prison pipeline, and there's only one way to do that, and that's to invest in our schools. I think it is very hard for elected officials to ask citizens to make sacrifices so that our schools can be better, which means tax increases. I myself have had trouble with that under different leadership in the district. And so I think that we really have to convince, it is our job as a district to convince not just elected officials, but parents that it is possible. And we are trying to get that message out. Dr. Height and his team have a vision for great schools. We need the investment, and people are just going to have to trust him and his team and us, because otherwise this city will continue to lose its middle class. Tom Furyk did a great piece in Metropolis in 2010, 2011 that showed that Philadelphia has lost its African-American middle class in West Philly and in East and West Oak Lane. That trend is continuing because of this yearly rite of spring that Dr. Height described. As soon as people turn, their children turn 4 or 5, they leave, either to a good catchment area, or they were lucky enough to win a lottery for a good charter school, or they leave the city if they can't afford a parochial or private school option for their child. The city can't afford that. It cannot sustain itself with that continuing to happen, just as the district can't sustain itself. So we've got to start believing that it's possible, investing in it, and it will result in a virtuous cycle of growth for our city.
You promise?
I promise.
Let me toss something to you, William Height, then we'll get back to our caller. Something I read recently, a study that looked at the students who attend the district schools here, and almost 20% of them either involved in the Department of Human Services, meaning social services, or the juvenile justice system, meaning that they got caught up in the legal justice system. What does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, and it is why we're focusing on the social and emotional needs of all of our children, and really have to think about that as we think about having sufficient resources to provide for those things. I mean, it also speaks to one other thing too, and we talked to, and I always meet with students, and I've met with students who were concerned about our proposed cuts for alternative education. Those young people call themselves, or call the initiative, the push-out, the anti-push-out initiative. And so I want to go back to our earlier caller who talked about the reason that the SRC is in court with respect to work rule changes for PFT. It's also really important for us to make sure that we are matching the skills and abilities of adults who are the educators to the needs of children so that they can respond to the needs of children. And so it's both things. I mean, it's resources to provide for these additional services. It's making sure that all of our children, regardless of where they live, have access to high-performing or high-quality schools. And it is making sure that the individuals who are standing in front of them actually believe in them, want to be with them, and want to and are making sure that those young people are being successful. So it's all of those things that are extremely important. But back to the study,
yes.
It just highlights the importance, the significant importance of making sure that we're not just focusing on all of those things associated with reading, writing, and mathematics, but in addition to that, dealing with some of our children who have some pretty significant social and emotional needs in our district.
Let me get Catherine from Upper Darby to join us on Radio Times. Catherine, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. I wanted to say I support everything that both your guests are saying. Even though I'm not in the city, we need a better formula from the state to support education everywhere in Pennsylvania. But what I don't understand, and I think they could clarify for people outside the city, what is the basic tax that supports education in Philadelphia? Is it a real estate tax like it is in the rest of the state? And in other districts, the school board decides what the rate of taxation will be and how much support the schools get. Who decides that in Philadelphia?
Catherine,
it doesn't seem to be clear.
No,
who's responsible.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Bill.
And that's part of our problem, because so many people are responsible. Nobody's accountable for the consequences. And so the school district gets a large part of its funding from a real estate tax that is authorized by city council and not by the school district. We're the only district in the Commonwealth that does not have taxing authority. So we are entirely supplicants, waiting to find out what our allowance is going to be each year. And because a large part of our revenue is not recurring or predictable, it has been difficult for the district to make long-term plans or medium-term plans that allow them to do mm-hmm. transformative things. And so we have to get a stable revenue base of that is going to grow in line with our mandatory expense growth so that we know that we're stable and we can be constructive about our short and intermediate and long-term plans. The other taxes that we get are liquor by the drink tax, which is insignificant compared to the real estate tax, and then we get federal grant money, Title I, et cetera, which is fairly predictable. And the least predictable part of our revenue stream comes from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, because essentially they just do a school funding bill each year and can, as they mm-hmm. did several years ago, on a removed charter reimbursement, which cost us $115 million a year, and that was not predictable to the district, and in theory can change the amount of revenue we get every year. It's because there is no funding formula. We're one of, I think there are fewer than three or four states in the country that don't have a funding formula for their public schools, and we are one of them, and that will help solve this problem.
We have a tweet from Allison. A simple question: how much does the state owe the school district? Do you have an answer to that question? You're both looking at each other.
Well, I guess we could say $4,000 a student, Dr. Wright.
Yeah, if we were going back to the adequacy, if we were going back to the adequacy study and a study that was commissioned and done for the purpose of providing for the unique needs of children in certain predicaments, so coming from certain circumstances, then it is $4,000 per child. I mean, and that if you did the math on that, that's an $800 million, not a $800 million ask, not a $440 million ask. And so, I think that if we've thought about it from that perspective, $4,000 additional dollars per child based on adequacy, a study that was commissioned by the state, then it would be that amount.
Mm. We have Christine from Center City, Philadelphia, joining us on Radio Times. Christine, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello, Marty and Dr. Height, Chairman Green. I'm calling from Center City. My kids do attend a public school in Philadelphia. And I think everybody can agree that what's being proposed with the budget now is just impossible to have an effective education for our kids next year should you have to make all these additional cuts. So what are your other options? I'm wondering, can you open schools with effective funding and then close them when the money runs out? Can you not have a budget the end of June if you don't think that it's effective and just not open schools? Because I know there are a lot of parents that would stand behind you if you did that.
We touched on this earlier. William, might go ahead.
Yeah, and thanks for the question, Chris. On the second question, that's more problematic because you must have a budget in order to allocate funds. And so spending begins July 1. In order to disperse cash, then it must be an approved budget. So that's a little more complicated. And so the answer to your first question is that we're considering all options. And those options, whether they are open late or close early or look at some of the things that are included in or a combination of all of those things becomes really important. Mm-hmm. But it leaves us with very few options. But if, in fact, we're forced to, that means we're going to have to take other actions either through or work with our labor partners or thinking about things that we could do in some places and not in others. And so it is, but we have to consider all of those things.
Anything you're considering, Bill Green?
I think it's not clear to me what kind of budget we'll be able to pass June 30th because there are so many unknowns even today in terms of the revenue that we're going to receive from the city and from the Commonwealth. With respect to June 30th, it is an important deadline because, and we must pass a budget because it we must have in place all revenue measures, whatever they are, by June 30th for the following year. Because otherwise we are not permitted to receive that revenue. In other words, for taxes, et cetera, we have to pass it in the current year for it to be effective in the succeeding year. So we are going to have to pass a budget of some kind.
So you're going to have a busy 2 weeks leading up to June 30th.
Yes.
Let me get Ann from White Marsh to join us. Ann, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Dr. Height. Hi, Chairman Green. Thanks for your service and your leadership. I'm a former teacher, and I have children in the school district, and I was a little disappointed in the new investments towards high school, given what we know about early education and its long-term impact. It seems like that would be the best place to put new dollars or inspired dollars for transformative change. So I'm hoping that you'll consider, talking a little, and maybe there are initiatives going on that can address how unprepared so many kindergartners arrive every year, and some of the initiatives I think that are focused on early learners and early literacy would inspire a little bit more than, say, four new high schools. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about that.
Sure, Ann. No, thanks for the call to Radio Times. William Hyde, go ahead.
Yeah. The
early childhood ed.
Yeah, and the caller is absolutely right in that early literacy is extremely important, and that's why it's a hallmark of our action plan. And there's a lot of work that's going on in that space right now. And we are actually integrating a lot of the work that the district is doing with work around the national campaign to have all children reading by third grade. We're saying all eight-year-olds reading by grade level. But there's considerable work and investments going into this notion of early literacy. And as a matter of fact, it exceeds the cost to the district of the four new high schools. And then the other reason that we talked about we wanted to begin investments for the high schools is because children that are left in many of the comprehensive high schools that are in the neighborhood schools, and those schools are woefully underperforming. And what we hear from many of the children and their families is that it must be a set of better options for children than the options that exist. We've been making progress, particularly at the elementary level, and that tends to go through K-8. We've been making progress in those areas. We've been making less progress with many of our comprehensive high schools that are not special admit or test-in schools. And so that's why we chose to provide, we chose to go down the path of beginning to transform high schools simply because we're losing a great deal of our students at that mm-hmm. level. In addition to that, all of these investments for the high schools are going into neighborhoods and prioritizing students who live in those neighborhoods, which is extremely important.
About a minute before we have to say goodbye to you, Bill Green, how much money do you think the district can make by selling school buildings? We know, you know, one in West Philadelphia sold to Drexel University about, what, $25 million bucks?
Yeah, it's part of our problem with City Council, frankly. They're requiring that we use the money from the sale of buildings for operating, when really what we should be doing is paying down debt, because these are capital these are capital, and they should lower our capital requirements for the following year or pay down debt instead of be used for operating, because we will then, if we don't pay down debt with it, we will then have that debt service continue in future years. Mm-hmm. When you have a capital building and you sell it, you should not use it for operating. We're being forced to by City Council, and it's not responsible. We have no choice. It's not significant dollars in the context of what we need.
Well, we could very quickly. You want to say something?
And it's a huge distraction. I mean, and I've said it's a red herring, and it is, while that's important, and we have moved to really sell the most sought-after properties, that doesn't solve our long-term problem. And what we're asking for are solutions to the long-term revenue problem.
That's William Hite. Thank you for joining us once again on Radio Times, the superintendent of the School District of Philadelphia. Bill Green also with us. He's chairman of the School Reform Commission. My thanks to both of you for joining us on Radio Times. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program, including podcasts and Facebook and Twitter. We did post a picture of our guests on our Facebook page. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Stay with us for the second hour of Radio Times. Stay with us. We'll be right back.